Three, two, one. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. Woo, 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 woo. Welcome back. And I'm still with Pastor Chris and Gerard.
Hello.
And I'm Jello, for those wondering. And last week we talked about the importance of gathering together physically as a church and what the role of the church is in the world, the local church. Today, this week, in this episode, we're going to be talking about how to determine where you should be planted and whether or not you need to move, whether or not you need to stay, all that stuff. With the first question, how do you determine what church we're supposed to be planted in, Pastor Chris?
How I determine?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, you have to pray first, right? You have to pray to ask Holy Spirit's guidance and leading where to. And then if you know there are local churches around your area, try to go there, right? You know, and then what you look for at church, it has to be a church that is Bible-based. They teach the Bible and they're open to the working of the Holy Spirit. They're open to the Holy Spirit. They don't just teach the Holy Spirit. They don't just teach the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know, those things. It's not just a mechanical, technical thing, but it's you see them manifested in their services. You see those supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the services. Then you also need to look at the church where, like, you could sense the what atmosphere do they have in the church. Is it an atmosphere of love? Is it an atmosphere of you sense this love of God and this acceptance of people to you? Those are the things that, and then another thing that I always ask tell people when they move or they go to like different place and they needed to go to a church, I tell them to speak to their pastor, because speaking to the pastor, you could sense what, you know, what type of spirit, what type of this person, like the character, you need to know that. And are they spiritual men and women? Are they spiritual leaders? Are they're not just speaking about preaching the word, but they're really displaying or living the word? Then another thing that I tell them to ask is for the doctrinal statement of the church. Because when you look at the doctrinal statement of the church, then that's when you find out that is this what I really believe? Okay, so doctrinal statement of the church. One mistake that people do is they attend one service and then that's it. Like they judge the church based on one attendance. Mm. Don't do that, because one attendance would not mean that's like if you see something that you don't like and you just decide it based on one attendance. Mm. Try to attend at least a month, 2 months, 3 months, and then God, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, oh, that's not really for you. I want you to move to that church.
Okay. Yeah. So a statement that I've heard a lot of people say is when they're thinking about moving church is, I'm not growing here. So what is your reaction to that? Like if someone comes up to you and they say, Pastor Chris, I'm leaving because I'm not growing here.
I'm not growing here. Okay. Just remember growth. It's like relationship is two-way. Okay, growth is not only the responsibility of the pastor or the leader. Growth is also the responsibility of the person.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just that church responsibility to grow, for the people to grow. It's our responsibility to give you the food, but it's also your responsibility to eat the food, right? I'm a mom. I cook a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So if I cook a dinner, lunch, and I put it there on the table, and then one day I realize my kids are starving, they're you know, malnourished, then I'll ask them, did you eat the food that we didn't really want your food, or we didn't eat it? Then is it my fault? Like that's not my fault, right? I gave you the food. So if you look at the Bible, I've heard this from Kenneth Hagin. There's one man that came up to him and said, I feel sorry for you. And Kenneth Hagin said, why? Because you are always teaching about faith. You are always teaching faith to people. Because that was God's assignment to him, to teach people faith. God told him, that there's a lot of preaching about faith, but no one really teaches faith. So I want you to teach faith. So he's teaching faith, 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 always. Mark 11, Mark 11, Mark 11. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this guy said, because you have so much responsibility, because you're teaching people about faith, and imagine the responsibility that you have. What if these people doesn't do that, what you teach them? And he said, okay, I agree with you there, but I also have to tell you that you also, as a listener, has the responsibility to do what you heard. Mm-hmm. So he referred to the story of the parable of the sower. Mm. He said, if you look at the story of the parable of the sower, the sower was only mentioned once, because the responsibility of the sower is to sow the seed. But then if you read the rest of that parable, the more responsibility was actually given to the hearer. Mm. Right. So yeah. Responsibility of the teacher, responsibility of the pastor, responsibility of the church leaders is to feed you the word, to give you the word that is necessary, but it's your responsibility as well to take what is given to you and put it into action, and then you grow. So, yeah. And I'm not saying, yes, there might be instances where you do that, like you take what they're teaching you, you read the Bible, you pray, you are involved with everything that's happening in the church, and you're still not growing. That is a place where you really have to seek God and ask God, Lord, why am I not growing? Mm-hmm. Is there something wrong? Or are you moving me out from... Because there are times where, as a pastor, people will tell me, Pastor Chris, I wanna get out of the church. Mm-hmm. And if I sense that, yes, you're not meant to be in this church, I let you go, right? Because I cannot stop your growth. Mm-hmm. If you're not growing here, and God has something for you there, but I need to see it after a year. This that happened to me, to us, with our experience. These people doesn't want to come with us because the church is too far in Menai. Mm-hmm. And they said, we're going to go close to this area. At that time, I don't have harvest now. So I said, okay, bye-bye. Right? Mm-hmm. After a year, they still call me for counseling. They still ask me for prayer. And I said, what happened? Are you not supposed to be in this church? Are you not supposed to have your pastor there at the church? What happened there? What happened to your evangelism? Are you still sharing the word? Which they were doing it when they were with us for 2 years. Mm-hmm. They stopped evangelizing. They stopped winning souls. They stopped praying in tongues. So from there, I could judge that they didn't really go out because they wanted to grow. They're not growing in this church. Right. They just... Right. They moved to another church because of convenience. Because there's no fruit. Like the fire for evangelism is gone. Mm-hmm. And they still ask me for prayer. They still ask me for counseling. Mm-hmm. So that's like, no. Because you have your different house now. Mm-hmm. You have a different pastor now. I love you, but you have to go to your pastor. Mm-hmm. You have to ask them for your prayer. You know, I can pray for you, but I cannot give you that time. Because I have the shepherd here now.
Yeah.
Right? So in the house, you have been, like we didn't discuss this, the first topic. You need a shepherd. Mm. You need a shepherd. When you got saved, you're a baby. Like, you know, we cannot just throw you out without a mother looking after you, changing your nappy, giving you milk. And that's why you need church.
Yeah.
Because at church, we will have your mother, that someone that will look after you, take care of you until you are able to stand up and walk by yourself.
Mm. Mm. I think with that, having a shepherd to look after you, so a pastor who looks after you, your questions as a new believer get answered quicker. And in terms of the availability as well, like there's so much stuff online where you can, one thing I've noticed is people get, Christians get funny when we mention the word money in anything.
Yeah.
they start freaking out and stuff, and you know, people will say this and that about whatever topic that is, and you know, if you do this you're a false prophet, if you do that you're a false prophet, this guy's a false prophet, look at what he just said.
Yeah.
And they're just nitpicking all these different things, but in reality they're only taking only little parts of what people say, and as a new believer seeing that, they're like, whoa, like this guy's a false prophet. But when you're under a house, when you're in a house with a shepherd, you can see the godly counsel there, because you're not the only pastor of Harvest Now Church. You're the head pastor, but there's a team around you, just like just like how there's different teams within the ministry. There's a team there of godly counsel that is able to give you advice, answer your questions, all these different things. I've gone to Pastor Rod, I've gone to you for so many different questions, and I've got them all answered. That doesn't disregard me going to God as well. Like, I've gone to God, I've gone to you, I've gone to Pastor Rod, Pastor Dean back in the day. I've asked all these different questions. And having that godly counsel and knowing that that's available for me, it's like what we were saying in the first podcast, the community that's there too, knowing that your shepherd is there for you. And I think that's a really valuable aspect of coming to church and knowing where you're planted and stuff like that as well.
And you mentioned that it also brings you to protection.
You
have divine protection.
Yeah,
because,
right.
You know, like in the Bible says that the anointing flows from the top. And if you're not under the divine order of God for authority, then you have no protection at all. You're vulnerable, right? You're an easy prey. Like you said, we're a team. Yeah. Like, you look after each other's back. But if you're just working and doing it alone by yourself, you don't go as a missionary to one city or one country without the support of a local church. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, something can happen to you. There, no one protects you.
Yeah.
Right? And there's people that does that. They just, I felt even the pastors tell them, I sense that you're not supposed to go there. No, I this is the Holy Spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit will not confirm what you heard to your pastor? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, those I've seen people, they just do because it sounds nice, it sounds godly, but there's no confirmation from the Holy Spirit from your pastor, or you know, and they just do it. Then they end up either regretting it, they end up losing money, then end up losing a relationship because they just did it because they felt Holy Spirit spoke to me. Right. And I'm not saying Holy Spirit cannot speak to you, but being under the shepherd, like the umbrella of that divine order of authority that God has set us, the pattern, then we need to be under that. Yeah. Like, there's divine protection there.
Yeah. And then, like, you say that you heard from God out of the mouth of two or three witnesses still.
Yeah. Mm.
So you can't just, this is something I learned from Dominion, how you can't just say, you've got the one revelation. No one else understands. I got something from God, you know? It's not like that. Like, you have a team and, like, they all hear from God as well.
Mm-mm.
So therefore, like, they should be getting the same thing, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah. You probably heard right, yeah? But then you spoke to your pastor to confirm it, but the pastor hasn't heard it yet, and say, oh, Jello, I haven't heard that yet. I cannot confirm that God really wants you to pursue that girl. And then, but I really heard it right. Or, you know, I really felt that it's the Holy Spirit. Then wait for the timing. Mm. Maybe you're right, but it's not yet the timing.
Mm.
So until it's confirmed, you know, that's just an example relationship because a lot of Christians really fall into this trap of the enemy being into wrong relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. A question I had was to do with denominations. So, what denomination are we?
What denomination?
I don't even know.
Well, so with Jesus Alive is an independent, all right? And then we were, I know that Pastor Paul has been ordained as a Foursquare, like under Foursquare denomination, right? That's Amy McPherson, I believe, the founder. Yeah, so he was ordained as from Foursquare. But then eventually he got, like, he's independent, like, out of that, although he's ordained from that. So when I started the church here, because I came from Jesus Alive, so I'm under Jesus Alive now. So to talk about, like, to tell you what denomination, like Foursquare, Assemblies of God, we're independent. Right, but we're Bible based. Okay, so, and I know that we're not heretics. We're not teaching false doctrine, right? Yeah, we're not. And I'm not saying that because I have to say it, but I know because I've changed. Like, I've been transformed. I know that people that we led to the Lord has been transformed. We saw the result, okay? Mm-hmm. So we can be in a denomination or we can be an independent church or independent local church. Yeah. To me, really, like, if I look at the Bible, I don't see denomination in the Bible. Mm. We are all under one head, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? This denomination only came because of the founders and what they used to believe. You know, like, one denomination can believe in speaking tongues. Another denomination doesn't believe in speaking tongues. But they also believe that, but they both believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Mm. I can work with them.
Yeah, for sure. Right?
So to me, denomination is not that important. I can put that denomination above my head and say that I'm from this denomination. But there's no life in what I'm doing. Then denomination really, you know, denomination is just a name. Mm. As much as like Pastor Chris is just a title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus Christ didn't come for denomination. Mm. He didn't give us, there's no Bible verse where Jesus said, you have to be connected with this denomination for me to recognize you. No. Mm. So yeah, although we're independent, we're not connected to any Assemblies of God. Mm-hmm. I know those are the main denomination. Foursquare, Baptist, no, Pentecostal, Methodist, no.
So for someone that's looking for a church, like, is there, I don't know how to word this, but is there a denomination that you would tell them that their doctrine is wrong?
The doctrine is wrong?
Yeah.
It's not a denomination, it's a cult. Okay, so denomination different. Because when denomination, as far as I know, denomination, they like Pentecostal, Bible-believing churches. Mm. But a cult is any organization that tells you that if you don't belong to us, you are not saved. That's a cult, right? And a cult is a group that teaches that Jesus is not God. He's a prophet. He's a good man that lived a good life, a holy life. And it's just one of the ways. That's a cult. Okay, so you don't go there. I mean, you don't want to be involved in that type of a teaching where very, very, very clear in the Bible, Jesus said, there is no way to the Father except by me. Mm. So any religion or any group that teaches that Jesus is just one of the ways or Jesus is not really God, he didn't really die, you know, like, or he died, but He didn't really resurrect. Those are main doctrine belief that we have. Mm-hmm. Jesus rose from the dead, but there are group that teaches that Jesus remains dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or salvation is through good works. That's a cult. Mm-hmm. That if you don't knock on doors and preach the Bible, then you are not saved. That's all against what we teach from the Bible. Because the Bible says that we are saved by grace, not by good works. Mm. Right? So you can be sincerely serving God, but sincerely mistaken as well.
Yeah.
If you don't know the Bible. And there are also groups, which is also a cult, that they don't use the Bible as the final authority. They have their own books.
Right.
Let's say with Jehovah's Witnesses, they have their own book written by their founder. Mm. Mormons, they have their own book, which is any person that claims that they have been downloaded from heaven, a message from heaven directly to them, and then they put it in a book, and that's what supersede what the Bible says, then that's a cult. Because only God spoke to the prophet, and whatever he allowed to be written here, that's the Holy Bible, that's it. You don't find anything that is written from Genesis to Revelation, which will always be in opposite or contrary, because there's only one author of the Holy Bible, which is the Holy Spirit. So he cannot speak something in Genesis that oppose what he said in Revelation. Mm. they're always going to complement each other. It may be written from different times, written by different people, but it's all directed to one, and that is Jesus Christ. So you know, when you're when you know the Bible, Holy Spirit comes to you, you know the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
Yeah, and like with cults as well, they're not going to come at you with like, some of these cults are really, really subtle. A few of my close friends, as well as my sister and my girlfriend, have been approached by a cult before. My sister told me that she got invited to a Bible study. So I was like, oh, praise God, yeah. And then I asked her, how'd you find out about the Bible study and stuff? And it was someone from her high school. What happened was, I was like, okay, all good. And then they're telling me all these different details that Christine, my girlfriend, told me as well, where the church didn't have an actual address. They didn't have a Facebook page. They didn't have any social media. And it was really, really sus. So I was like, okay, let me look at this real quickly. I asked my sister, hey, do you mind if I sit into the Bible study and find out what they're talking about? It was on Zoom. So praise God. So they didn't know I was there, right? And so I'm listening in, and the doctrinal beliefs that they start with was like 100% accurate. And then they came to the point where they forgot to mention Holy Spirit. And then being next to my sister, I texted her. I was like, ask about, what about the Holy Spirit? And all the teacher said was, oh yeah, Holy Spirit too, yeah. Like, as if the Holy Spirit is not God too. You know what I mean? I'm not part of the Godhead. And all these different things started happening. The Bible study goes on and on. And then she mentions that even the disciples let Jesus down. So Jesus is going to come back, and he wants more people. He wants someone to rely on. He hasn't found them yet, right? And I was like, what? That's so weird. And then I was telling my sister after the Bible study, I was like, okay, so these are the red flags. I mentioned that thing about not mentioning Holy Spirit. Because these subtle things, if you're a new believer, you'll get caught up in it.
Yeah.
It's very, very subtle. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important to have, like, you know, a friend. Do your research as well. Find out when you get saved. One scripture I always refer to in this podcast is Acts 17 about the Berean Jews. Mm. Search the scripture for yourself. Yeah. Look at the scripture yourself. So if you, when people preach and stuff to you, and, you know, traditionally speaking, what happens when people preach, they say the scripture and then they explain. Mm. Now, when they say something that's not in line with scripture, give it a quick Google. Like, maybe say, what's something, you know, say the teacher says, oh yeah, our pastor is the second coming of Christ. And then being a new believer, you're like, oh, okay, let me look that up. When is Jesus coming back, right? Mm. And then you'll see all these scriptures that no one knows when Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus even says, if someone says, I am he, don't believe them. Mm. So you see these scriptures come up because you've researched the word for yourself. And you're like, whoa, that's kind of weird. Like, maybe I should bring that up with them. Or bring up, if you have Christian friends, bring it up with them. If they don't know the answer, talk to their pastor or something. Find out, because these cults are really sneaky. And some of the people who are close to me who got approached had good intentions. Like, they wanted to attend a Bible study. Mm-hmm. They want to learn more about the word. They love the Lord so much, and they want to be in a community of believers. Mm-hmm. That they're like, a Bible study, 100%, I'm in. That they get into the Bible study, we're hearing back from them. And because they start acting different and weird, and they're saying all these different things at our Bible study, is like, whoa, where'd you learn that? We're asking them, they tell us this story. And one of the people we're close to, they were really surprised when we said, dude, that's a cult. That's not what we believe. And they were like, how is that a cult? They were so utterly convinced that this was just another Bible study. That's how subtle that these things can happen. And it's really important to have discernment through the Holy Spirit. when you're looking for a Bible study. Yeah. How do I know if I have discernment? You have the Holy Spirit. Just trust Him. Mm. You know, there's things said, you know, even in preachings online that I've heard, that I've listened to, where it just didn't sit right with me inside. Mm. It just felt like this, I don't think that's right. Mm. I research it. Turns out it's incorrect, right? So the Holy Spirit will give you, hey, that's not right, my son, my daughter. Mm. Research the word for yourself. So in terms of cult and stuff, it's really, that's, I just wanted to put that out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Another red flag I'm aware of is some cults, they don't allow you to read the Bible.
Yeah. You need an interpreter. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. They believe unless you've been anointed to teach or anything like that, anointed to...
Unless you're the minister, unless you're the ordained minister.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to open. If you're just a member, you're not allowed to open the Bible. It's like only holy people can open the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And another one is, if you ask them, how are you going to be saved? Mm. They cannot answer that. Mm. They're always going to refer to what they do. Mm. It's so they're always going to go back to work. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's not through, by grace, through faith. In Christ Jesus. Mm. So that's, because I had that experience where I was sharing with this workmate of mine years ago. This is years ago. And she belonged to this big group of, it's a cult. We have this here in this area as well. They're very well known. And but it's originated in the Philippines. Its founder is Filipino. Mm. And it's all around the world now. It's very big. Yeah. So I started sharing with her because I know she's a very committed person in that church, like the whole family. And I don't attack those stuff. I deal with the real issue, which is you are a sinner, you need a savior. Mm. So I started sharing with her about the savior, Jesus Christ. And at the end, bottom line, she said, you know, I really feel that what you are sharing with me is what I really need. Mm. So like she grew up from in that church, like you grew up in the Christian church. Mm-hmm. She grew up from that church because her family, mom and dad, has also been in that church. But she said, I never heard this. Like, I never knew that this is what God, who God is. I never knew that this is what God wants me to have, you know, because... Again, they're not allowed to open their Bibles. Mm. They're not allowed to find out who God is. And she, when I asked her, how do you get saved? And she said, I'm part of the church. Mm. But yeah, really, that like being part of the church doesn't really make you saved. So you really have to have a relationship. So she said, I really want what you shared with me. And I've shared this. The same thing happened to a Muslim friend, that workmate. I shared with her, and she said, "You, what you were sharing is really different. Like, you know, again, like you think about, did I say something? Like, I'm not a good communicator. I don't use eloquent word. But that's when the Holy Spirit comes. That's when the anointing comes. That even if it's a simple explanation of the gospel, people will respond, and then that blindness that kept them from darkness will be taken off." Because the gospel came in, right? Because light comes, darkness expelled. So yeah, there are people there that just because the family was there in that religion, in that group for many years, they just tend to accept it as like, I just receive it because my family grew up here, my dad, mom and dad, and that's what we used to do, say also. My parents say, we were born this and we will die this. Right. Yep. My brother-in-law said that to my husband. But, you know, but maybe what you believe now is wrong and it can cost you your eternity. So it's an opportunity to really find out and open your Bible. I would not always suggest to go to Google, really, you know.
Yeah.
Go to Bible.
Go to Bible.
Right. And then seek, like, I believe Holy Spirit is always ready to hear. Because I did that prayer, Holy Spirit, I don't know when I prayed that prayer in the church that I used to belong to. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm confused. But if you're real and where I am now is wrong, take me out of here. You know, like that show, take me out of here. I'm a celebrity. Take me out. And God heard. Mm. God heard. So that's my testimony. Even if I was inside that church that, you know, my old church before, like my former religion, God heard me. And he brought someone to bring me out. And that caused me to get saved. Mm. So there's nothing impossible with those that seek God.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit will always use someone, or maybe a message from this podcast can speak to you.
Yeah.
It's not about what will my parents say, or my parents been in this religion or in this group for a while. Are they leaders of this? But if it's wrong and it's going to cost you your eternity, you know?
Yeah.
What would you say to someone that approached you and their family is very devout, like say Muslim, and they would disown them if they were to convert to Christian?
They will be disowned. Well, Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, right?
You'll lose it.
You will lose it. And you have to be ready to really, if you follow Jesus Christ, he said, you will lose a lot of people, like in your life. Like you will lose friends. You will lose family.
Yeah, I didn't come to bring peace.
And bring sword, division. So it's really a sacrifice that you have to choose or to go through. In fact, the word disciple, if we look at it in the real meaning, a disciple is one that is ready to leave everything behind and follow the master. That is what disciple is in the Bible. That's why if you look at the story of when God called Peter, he was fishing, right? When God called Nathaniel, Philip, everyone was doing something, like livelihood. They were working, they were with their families. But when Jesus called them, they left everything behind. Mm. So really, not everyone will agree when you start to follow God. But with what he said, he promised us eternal life. He promised us peace. He promised us joy. Mm-hmm. And if we follow God, eventually those people that persecute us, but when we follow God, we put him first and we prayed for those people that persecute us, eventually they will get saved. Mm. I have that experience where with my family, my friends, I lost a lot of friends when I got saved. This is way back in college. But now some of them are also pastors. Some of them are also believers. So, yeah, you cannot really say, God, Lord, I said this morning, when God takes something from, or when God asks you for something to offer to him, he always is ready to give you something back.
Yeah. And I think one thing that Jesus says in terms of becoming a disciple is to count the cost, the cost of discipleship.
Yeah.
It will cost you a lot.
Yeah.
I know for a lot of people, those who started their faith in Christ Jesus, they lost friends, they lost family, not like them dying and stuff, but they were rejected.
Yeah.
Mm. They were like, you're a Jesus freak now, this and that. They lose friends because they're not part of that lifestyle anymore. And, you know, that's the cost of discipleship. One thing that happened in the Gospels is the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler approaches Jesus and says, Lord, so he goes through all these different things. So how do I inherit eternal life and stuff like that? And then Jesus gives the answer. And then it comes to the point where the rich young ruler says, Lord, all of these I've kept from my youth. What do I lack? And then it says that Jesus had compassion on him. He had pity on him. And he said, in love, you being perfect, sell your possessions and come follow me. And it says that the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. So the rich young ruler didn't have the right heart just yet. But there's a theory that's been going around as well. In Acts, the person who gave that large sum of money was the rich young ruler. So eventually he came back, and that's the theory. That's a really cool theory as well when you think about
it. It's Barnabas.
Yeah. So in terms of counting the cost, it's a beautiful thing to do that as well. Mm-hmm. It's really important as well. Some people come into Christianity and leave because of how much they've lost in terms of friendship and all this different stuff, and then they want to go back to those friendships again. But being a Christian, you know, you have to be willing to sacrifice those things. And, you know, you might be Muslim right now, you might be Buddhist, you might be this and that, you know, whatever. But if you have heard the Lord and you've felt him in your heart and you know that Christ is the one you want to follow, you should do it. All of us here can, if you've listened to the last, I think it was 2 episodes ago about how we got saved.
How you get saved.
None of us there, including Pastor Chris now, would ever have it any different right now. We are so content with our relationship with Christ Jesus that you could offer us anything in exchange for Jesus and we'd say, no, we want, give me Jesus. That's all we want. So if you're in that point right now, stay encouraged. We're praying for you. We don't even need to know your name because the Holy Spirit inside of us makes intercession for you, right? The Holy Spirit prays the perfect will of God through us for you, right? All you have to do, just seek God. You can do it in secret. There's underground churches around the globe who love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, but they have to do it in secret because of the amount of the repercussions and, you know, the beheadings and stuff like that. There's stories in, you know, in Middle Eastern countries and where it's heavily Muslim, where people who find out you're Christian, you're killed on the spot. And though I have so much respect for those Christians over those over there in those countries because they literally counted the cost of their life for discipleship. And they know that if they're found out, they're dead. And one thing that I like from that is they know the true cost of discipleship with Christ Jesus. And in first world countries like here in Australia, the cost of discipleship is losing friends. In another country, it's your life.
It's life, right?
So, look, you might not even be in those sort of countries now. You might be in Australia. You might be in America, the UK, those first world countries and stuff like that. You might be in the Philippines. You might be anywhere else in the world and you have grown up a different religion, a different denomination, blah, 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 you know. But if you have heard the call of God in your heart and you know for sure that this is Christ Jesus talking to you and you know for a fact that it is and this is resonating with you right now, follow Christ. Follow God.
Jesus says, if any man follows me, let him first deny himself. And then the second half of what Pastor Chris, the verse that she shared was, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. So, be encouraged with those, with that. The last question I wanted to just get in there before we end was, so there's a lot of people that leave church because they get offended. So what would you say to someone who is hurt? Because I think that's where I was at. I felt like I got hurt and then I left. So what would you say, how would you minister to someone that has been hurt by the church and that's why they're no longer attending?
I would say, okay, so well, offense is real, right? It's really one of the weapon that the enemy uses against the believers. An offended heart is hard to mend, you know, like it's hard to bring them back. But I've seen offended people that has been healed and restored back into fellowship first with Christ. So how would I minister to an offended person? Because I would say I had also an experience where I was offended, not by the church, but by someone else. But again, you find that place where when you realize that that God, that like people are not perfect, okay, especially leaders, like pastors. And that's not an excuse for pastors or leaders or whoever in the church to hurt people. That's not an excuse. It's not to justify. But again, there's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect song leader, you worship leader, because you can get offended to from anyone at church, right? It can be just the greeter at the door. They didn't greet you. And it's easy. But it's an attack. It's a weapon of the enemy that against us so that we will not continue to with our walk with God. And how would I minister is to just let them know that God has not changed, right? And that offense, can be fixed. That offense can be restored. That offense can be healed. And it's just your willingness, that person's willingness to let go of that offense and let go of the person that hurt them. It when I counsel people with offense, I don't need to find out are they who's wrong or right, right? Although they would tell me what's the story, but it's not who is right and who is wrong. It's just that you need to know that at this very moment, it's you in prison. It's not the person that you got hurt from. It's not the person that you are offended from, but it's you who are in prison. Because that person that you are, you know, don't like or offended, was offended, maybe sleeping very tightly at night. And you are there awakened and you're stressing, you're so upset that you miss the opportunity or you miss the plan of God for your life. And this person is so happy, you know. So it's not them that is in prison, but it's you. Now, if they say, but it's really hurting, now then that's when I will bring them to the place where, okay, we'll just have to have the Holy Spirit here. Right, I can tell you good things or my experience, but I need the Holy Spirit now. We bring you now to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, what I cannot do, Holy Spirit can do. And I've seen how many people we prayed for in the past were supernaturally healed by God because they were touched by the Holy Spirit. And this discussion is really timely because I was just speaking to a friend of mine, a friend of who's been a Christian for many years, probably even before me, and she backslid for 10 years. And she used to be a Bible study teacher, very wise, like very smart woman. She led people to the Lord, but somehow something happened. She got offended with the church, not our church, but with the church, with church leaders, that despite of her being having involved in the ministry, she just left. And for 10 years, right? And so I lost contact of her because I left the church prior to her backsliding. And so I was able to speak, like met with her during Christmas. And I asked her, I said to her, I'm just curious, what did you do during those 10 years? Because, you know, like, how can you live your life away from God during those 10 years after experiencing God? You know? I can't comprehend it. I can't. Because I said to her, and I'm not judging her. I'm not being critical. I'm just a curiosity. What did you do during those 10 years? Because for me, 10 years is very long. Right? So I said to her, if I don't come to church or if I don't pray or if I don't fellowship in one Sunday or maybe the most maximum is 2 Sundays, I feel really different. I feel dry. I feel something is wrong, right? But you, 10 years, how did you handle 10 years? And she said, that's when I really very upset. To me, church is hypocritical. Church is just, you know, the church people are a bunch of hypocrites. I got so very resentful, very hurt. And she said, I don't want to do anything with the church. So I just did my own way. I just went back to the world. I did what the world did, you know. So she mixed up again with the world. And this is a woman that God used, a woman that led people to the Lord. And I knew her. She's a very smart woman when it comes to Bible study, very knowledgeable. But yeah, something happened. And anyway, so I said to her, what restored you back? And she said, I realized that I needed to go back to the Word of God. So she said she started reading the book of Proverbs every day, one chapter. And Proverbs is 31 chapters. So she said every day I would read chapter 1, chapter 2, 31 days. Then if I finish chapter 31 of Proverbs, I go back to Proverbs 1 again, right, for the next like next month. And I said to her, okay, that's like a light bulb to me. I said, so you would say, it's the Word of God that sets you free. Yes, now I'm realizing it, but then she doesn't know. I said, see how powerful God's Word is, active and powerful, and it's alive. And the Bible is really true, that the Word of God, it brings light. And when light comes, darkness go. So, and it didn't happen straight away like that. It took her a few months. of reading the word, and then she started going to church again. But when she went to church, she went to this big church, and she said, "I'll just go there, sit at the back. After the sermon or the closing prayer, I just run." But she doesn't, again, like, "I just want to feel good that I'm go to church, but I don't want to be involved in the church." Mm. And there are people like that, right? Because of their experience from the church, I don't want to be involved anymore. Mm-hmm. But that's how she was. Until one day, she met Ate Mel, if you remember Ate Mel. Mm-hmm. And she asked Mel, she found out that I started a church here, and she said, "Oh, can I have Ate Chris number?" So Mel, long story short, we met. She told me what happened. I didn't really know what happened to her that 10 years, but I lost contact. And she even contemplated suicide, depression, a lot of things. She said, "I plan to sell all my properties here and go back to Philippines and just be someone lives in the mountain." You know, totally hurt. So I said to her, "Okay, you've got a big problem here, but I know what to do," right? Holy Spirit. Mm. So I said, "Come to my house. Let's go," because Larry is there. Mm. So we asked her to sit down. I told Larry what she shared with me, and we asked, "Are you willing to be prayed for?" She said yes. That day she got delivered. Why we know? She vomited. That's deliverance, right? So, because just recently I was speaking to someone that he said, "I've been praying. I always pray. I listen to the messages. I read the Bible, but it seems like I'm not totally set free." Because there's deliverance that needs to happen. So this woman was delivered, set free. Now God is using her to different church, holding another group study like this. So what's my point? The power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? The power of the Holy Spirit. And he's more than willing than us to set us free.
Yeah.
And those things that we struggle and we find hard to let go, or hurt that we find hard to let go, or even forgiveness, forgiving people, it's hard to forgive them. I know it's hard by naturally it's hard. But when we bring it to the Holy Spirit and say, "Holy Spirit, I can't really do this, but I know you can through me, you will give me that power to, or the ability to forgive this person," then yeah, sometimes it will kick in that person's face will come up and you just hate, you know. But when you say, "Holy Spirit, that's been washed by the blood," suddenly it's changed like that. So these people are set free because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So never let go of that reality that the Holy Spirit wants a relationship with us, and that he wanted him to be involved in everything we do, in those things that we think and we think that we struggle, or we struggle with, or think that it's hard for us to do. Get the Holy Spirit in. Get him involved. Invite him, and you'll see, this is a supernatural power. Sets people free.
One thing that, in terms of offense, one thing I think about is something Lester Sumrall said when he was navigating through offense. He said, "When you're offended with someone, go buy them a meal and talk with them. Mm-mm. It'll change after the meal." So having that act of kindness and really getting to know the person, it, like, something happens. The offense just goes away because, like, wow, this person is someone with problems just like me, and we're here on a journey with God together. And then the offense starts shifting away. Another good resource that's helped me with offense is John Bevere, The Bait of Satan.
Was good.
So I'm not sure what the promotion is like on Harvest Now podcast, but definitely look into The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. It'll change your life. It's really, really good.
And pray for, have you ever prayed for your enemy?
That's one
remember
thing.
Remember what Jesus said? Bless your enemy. Right? So when you start praying for your enemy, and they might be wrong and you're right, but when you start praying for them, your heart starts to change towards them. Like you said, buying a food.
That's right.
Yeah. Why would I buy my enemy food? I buy them poison, right? Like, that's the world, eh? But That's why we are in the upside down kingdom.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Jesus said, bless your enemy. In the world, it says, curse your enemy. Mm. But ours is upside down kingdom, mm. different kingdom. Mm. In the kingdom of God, your enemy, you bless your enemy. Mm. You pray for your enemy. Mm. So when you start praying for your enemy, you don't realize it. You started to have compassion on them.
Yeah. Mm.
Because God starts to show you that this person is this. This is the weakness of this person.
Yeah. Mm.
So you should, instead of being upset with them, you see that, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't see. Mm-hmm. That this person has already been struggling with his identity, or this person has been struggling with rejection.
Mm.
So God will show you that. And then instead of upset or anger or hatred or bitterness, compassion draws you to this definitely. Person. Yeah.
One thing with John Bevere as well, in terms of praying for your enemy or the one who offended you, one thing I found funny was the Lord instructed him to pray. Mm. He led him to that same scripture, pray for your enemies. And then the first prayer that John Bevere said was, one of the first prayers, sorry, he says, Father, bless them if you can. And then the Lord told him, pray for them like you'd pray for yourself. So he's saying like, Father, I pray that you open the doors of promotion. I pray that their whole family is blessed and they live in all these awesome things about that he wants for his life. He's praying for this person that offended him. So when you pray in a manner like that, your heart will change for them.
Yeah.
And in terms of forgiving them, sometimes you just got to do it by faith.
Mm-hmm. By faith.
Like even if maybe the person's passed away and you've lived with that offense for even while they're dead, you can't go up to that person physically anymore and say, hey, you offended me. Mm. You just have to forgive them.
Yeah. Mm.
Forgive them by faith. So,
release them.
Yeah.
For me, like what you said, the Holy Spirit's power, I felt God's love. Mm-mm. And that's what changed me. And then it's like, wow, I'm in the wrong. I'm wrong. And yet God still loves me. Yeah. He's still here. He's never left. And I'm like, wow. And then that extended towards everyone else. Like I forgot about the offense. I forgot what I'm mad about.
Mm-mm.
Because of like love covers a multitude of sins. And and then over the years I've grown in my relationship with God, because God is love. His love rubbed off on me, and now I'm slow to anger. Like God, like I'm slower to anger now. Before I used to be instant anger, like as soon as you offend, as soon as you do something. But so what I would say to someone that's been offended by the church, once you spend time with God and understand how he loves you, like we love because he first loved us. So once you understand his love for you, it's like you forget why you're so offended, why you're so angry at the church. Mm. So I think we'll end it there. Does anyone have anything else to say before we finish?
One last thing, sorry.
Yeah.
There's a scripture in the Gospels where Jesus says, if your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and fix it with your brother. Mm. Fix your relationship with your brother. So, in terms of church tradition, giving offerings and stuff like that was really special in the time then. But Jesus says, the offering, don't worry about that for now. Fix your relationship with your brother first.
Mm.
Fix that first.
Yeah.
It's definitely a priority for us to live in harmony with believers.
Even prayers.
Yeah.
Why some of our prayers are not being answered is because we have unforgiveness. That's
right. Yeah, yeah.
So that's holding back what is supposed to be for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize it's because we have some grudge or bitterness or unforgiveness in our hearts. So we need to forgive, to learn to forgive. And if it's the church that hurts you, just remember that, again, there's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastors or leaders, or people are not perfect.
Mm.
We're still being perfected, right? And if we really believe that God has forgiven us from our sins, then we also have the capacity or ability to forgive other people through the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And we should not allow the enemy to deceive us that, we'll forever live with unforgiveness and offense, which can also open which also that can, but also opens the door for the enemy to attack us with sickness, with stress, with hypertension, you know, all this. Because if you always upset with people, anger, hatred, you know, medically they prove that that if you're overly stressed, you can have ulcers, you can have all this skin disease, skin conditions, because you have so much stress inside. So it's better to just release someone. They may not be right, but again, you want it to be right for you.
Yeah.
Like you and God, right? And it's, that person may not realize it. They may never come to you and ask you for forgiveness or for sorry, apologize for what they have done. But what is important is you, your heart, is right before God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you pray for them, then you're giving them also the opportunity to repent.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good place to end. I think we'll end it with prayer, with Pastor Chris praying. I think pray for someone whose family is devoutly opposed to Christianity, and also think offense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that that's where God wants us to focus or highlighting, because I know that there are a lot of people that are out, or they're not at church, or they don't belong to a church now. They probably used to belong to a church, but because of things happen in the past that you got offended, you had a fight or whatever reason, you left the church. And again, it's not them that is being hurt, it's yourself. So for the sake of your well-being, for the sake of your eternity, you need to release and forgive whoever they are. Don't wait for the person to come to you to forgive them, because they're now going to be accountable before God. It's important that you are right with God. Okay? And for those that are, they belong to a family that are devout, maybe Catholics, Muslims, or whatever religion. I was a former Catholic, but God loves Catholics.
Yeah.
So, and if God allowed me and gave me that opportunity to come before the Lord and receive salvation through Jesus Christ, God is giving you that now. So, if you're that person, I just want to pray for you. If you have someone in your heart right now that you are reminded that you got offended, or a church leader that you were offended, I ask you again by the Spirit of God to forgive and release them, and be restored back into fellowship with God. So Father, we just praise you and thank you for this opportunity to share your word and to share what church is and what's the importance of being connected to a local church. And Lord, we believe for every person that are listening right now that this is a divine appointment for them to hear what we have shared today in Jesus' name. Because Lord, they might be a person with a family that are in a group or organization that they are not of what the Bible base, or they're not people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or they are in a cult or in a group or organization that doesn't teach what the Bible teaches, but they are seeking for the truth, and that's why you allow them to hear this message. And Father, today I pray for them. I pray for revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts, in Jesus name. Lord Holy Spirit, that I know that you, as you have brought me to that place of salvation, you will bring them, oh Lord God, to a place where, or even someone, bring them someone that will lead them to the right church, to the right group of people that will help them study the word, help them to grow in their relationship with you, in Jesus' name. Lord, it's not denomination, it's not the name of the church that people will be saved, but it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through faith. And Lord God, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart, and confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And if you haven't done the prayer that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, let's pray that prayer. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And today, I repent of my sins. And I ask you to cleanse me with your precious blood. And I open my heart to you. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come into my life. Direct me. Lead me. Bring me to the church where you planned for me to be planted. Bring me to the church where you planned me to be, to grow and to use my gift and to be a good steward of my gifts in Jesus' name. And if you're that person that has been offended by church or offended by leaders of the church, I ask you now to forgive those people. I ask you now to remember that God has forgiven you. And just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I accept that I have been hurt. I accept that I have been offended. But today, as I listen to this podcast, I realize that I need to forgive. I realize that I need to be set free from the spirit of offense. I don't want to be agreeing with the devil. I want to agree with your word. And your word says, Father, that if I do not forgive, you will not forgive me. Lord, I want your forgiveness. I want to close every doors that I have opened to the enemy to attack me with sickness or attack me with in my finances, in my relationship. I don't want that, Lord. I want the full blessing of God that Jesus has promised me in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he has come to give me life, life to the abundance in Jesus' name. And today, as I remember those names, as I see those faces, I forgive them. I release them to you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, to heal me from every offense in Jesus' name. Heal me, Lord, supernaturally from every hurt, from every bitterness in Jesus' name, from every resentment from church. Heal me now, Lord, in Jesus' name. I receive your healing. I receive your restoration right now. Restore me back into relationship with people, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And help me to walk in total love and compassion and forgiveness in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Congratulations if you prayed that prayer.
Woo.
Yeah. You made the best decision of your life.
Yeah. And if you've done those prayers, please send us comments or what happened to you after praying and we believe
connect,
that something happened there. Yeah. Right? The Holy Spirit has healed you.
Yeah.
Amen. And he'll bring you to the right church.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so all of our Instagram inboxes are open. Our email is open, contact@harvestnowchurch.com. Mm-hmm. Just contact us. You're more than welcome. We actually encourage you to contact us. It's good. Yeah, we want to get to know you.
Amen.
All right, so Happy New Year again, and we'll see you next time.
Amen. Right. Happy New Year.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.